Nobody's watching, nobody's watching. Dance for you, my Lord. And I'm gonna sing for you like nobody's listening, nobody's listening. Sing for you, my Lord.
Watching, nobody's watching. Dance for you, my Lord.
I'm gonna sing
for you
like nobody's listening.
Like nobody's listening. Nobody's listening.
I'm gonna sing for you.
Anything.
God another hand clap of praise tonight. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on, somebody lift him up tonight. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Come on, if you came with an attitude, there's nothing gonna hinder me, nothing gonna silence me. Somebody shout it out if you believe. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. My, my, what an awesome God. Well, good to see your smiling face in the house of God tonight. Thank God for the one who received the Holy Ghost earlier in service this morning. We thank God for one who received the Holy Ghost and was baptized during the week in Bible study. God's doing awesome stuff. Great praise group and choir and worship and prayer. We're in the house of God tonight. What a great thing. Amen. If you would turn very quickly in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. We're going to go to the Word of God. First Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come again against thee. And the servant of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou had lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And it was that the 7th day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. I want to preach to you for just a few moments tonight. God of the valley. Somebody say, God of the valley. Come on, I know he's the God of your mountaintops, but I came to remind somebody tonight, he's also God of the valley. Come on, look at somebody next to you, tell him, my God is a God of the valley. Come on, as you're seated, why don't you give God a hand clap of praise and worship him tonight? Come on, somebody lift up some high praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who never sleeps and never slumbers and never is weary. Hallelujah, we worship your name, oh God. We give you praise, Jesus. In history, the principal strategic position of warfare is to capture and defend the high ground. Everybody say the high ground. It is well documented that as a rule, whomever holds the high ground has a decided advantage over his adversary. In Sun Tzu's Art of War, he instructs, If your adversary occupies the high ground, do not attack him. If he comes at you downhill, do not resist. This is conventional wisdom, something that can be expected from a conversation about military tactics. In our text, Ahab, king of Israel, has fought against Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and was victorious. After the battle, the servants of the king of Syria came to him and said, "Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." You see, the problem with this is that this conversation strayed from being primarily about military tactics, and it crossed over in a very dangerous way for the Syrians. This comment insulted the identity of God. They said, "Don't worry, their God is a God of the mountain, but he's not a God of the valley." What they were saying was, he needs an advantage in order to have victory. For Ahab, this was the best case scenario that could have played out. He would probably have been in trouble because of his carnality, except that the Syrian king insulted God by saying, he's not a God of the valley. The Syrians once again came up against Israel, but this time they fought against Israel while she was in the valley. After the slaughter of 100,000 men, the remainder fled into a city called Aphek, where a random wall fell on 27,000 men. Why, you ask? I want to tell you tonight, the reason why is because God is a God of the valley. I've come to tell somebody tonight, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how big your adversary is. The God that you serve is not just a God of the mountaintop. He's not just a God of the explosion on top of the mountain with Moses. But David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I come to tell somebody tonight, the God that you serve is walking with you, even though you're in a valley. The God that you serve is able to pick you up in the middle of a valley. God is able to meet you at your place of need. Does anybody believe that tonight? Why don't you praise him for being with you in the valley? Somebody give him some praise. Now I'm in a similar vein from this morning, so I'm gonna stay with it. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, I don't care what kind of valley you're walking through. I know there are some people with financial problems tonight. I know there are some people who you don't have enough money and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. I know there are some people you're walking through a valley. You've lost a loved one and you're confused and you're disillusioned and there's a fog that's settling on your life. But God told me to tell you tonight that he's the God of the valley and he sees where you are and he has every hair on your head numbered. Come on, we ask questions like, where does the hair stop and the beard start? But God doesn't have to try to figure that out. God knows every single hair on your head, and he knows when one falls to the ground, and he numbers the sparrows, and God is in control. That old song says the God of the mountain is still the God in the valley. I'm so glad to know him that way. I'm so glad to have a heritage and a history in the church where I've been through enough in my life to look back over my life like that footprints in the sand plastered on so many walls where you can see times where you thought you are all by yourself. But you look at those footprints and you ask the question, how was it that there was only one set of footprints? I've come to tell somebody, God's carried you through things you can't even see. God has been there when you were so confused you couldn't pick up your own head. God has been there to be greater than your heart when your own heart condemns you. God of the valley. Somebody shout it. Come on, on, somebody say it with conviction. Come on, say, my God is a God of the valley. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Hitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over under the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other Shenah. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or save by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to your heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. You see, Joshua knew something. I'm sorry. Pardon me. You see, Jonathan knew something about military tactics. He knew that given an opportunity, both the mismatch in manpower as well as the strategic advantage in positioning would be too much for his adversary to resist. And he also knew something else that was of greater significance. God is a God of the valley. And the Bible says, and both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they've hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. So Jonathan and his armor bearer are like those brave American soldiers who fought on D-Day. They put their weapons down or put them on their back, and they begin to crawl up that hill because they understood something. I've got a cause. I've got a purpose. And the God that I serve is able to deliver me. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are saved. I came to tell somebody, there's an adversary in your life. He is convinced that all he has to do is get you into a low ground. All he has to do is get you into a tight place. Brother Adrian, he's convinced all he has to do is mess with your finances. All he has to do is get you in a... Yeah, it's easy to fight on the mountain. It's easy to fight from a high place. It's easy to believe God when everything's going good. It's easy to believe God when it's thunder and lightning and hail and smoke and the presence of God is visible. But it's another thing altogether, Brother Keith, when you lose your job. It's another thing altogether when your marriage is in trouble. It's another thing altogether when your business is struggling and you don't know how you're going to... It's another thing altogether when you've got to stand in a low place and look up at a high place and the cold wind begins to blow and you believe God and you trust him. But you're sure having a hard time. You've got some doubts in your mind. You're confused and you're disillusioned and everything's topsy-turvy and things that are up look like they're down and things that are... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever been through a valley? But I came to tell somebody, the same God who spoke to you on the mountain, the same God who rained down hail and fire and smoke, the same God who delivered the tables of stone is able to take you out of a valley and bring you back to a mountaintop. Everybody wants to be a David. But when that man leaves the camp of the Israelites and he makes his way down, he went down to a brook. And I want to tell you what happens at the brook. A brook is the low place. A brook is the place where all the water collects from off of the hill and the mountain. When that man walks down to the brook and he looks down into the brook and he sees his reflection in the water and everything that he said he's going to do, now he's got to back it up. And all the declarations that he's made, and that giant's still standing screaming in his face, and he doesn't know how he's going to do it. He just knows that I trust God and God's been here for me before, and I know he's a God of the mountain, and I know there have been some times when I've heard his voice, and I know definitively God speaks, and I know. But all of a sudden the giant's standing there, and all he can see is his own pitiful, insecure self, and all he can see is I'm not tall enough and I'm not strong enough. And God, it's easy to brag and to make boastful statements when you're on the mountain. It's easy when you're surrounded by all of Israel. But all of a sudden, he's standing at the brook, and he's standing in the valley, and his adversary standing above him. Literally, his adversary standing at a higher position than he is. And literally, his adversary's taller than he is. He's got more experience in the matter. And I'm telling you that we've all been there at some point in our life. And there's some people tonight under the sound of my voice. You're standing there tonight. You're standing in the valley, and you've told your friends and you told your family members that God is a God who saves and God is a God who delivers. But right now where you're standing, you're not sure for yourself if you can keep believing it. You've prophesied over the Spanish ministry there's going to be a revival, and you're standing in that service at times and you're looking around and you're saying, God, where is it? And you've heard the echoes of the prophecies, but the giant's looming in your life and the Spirit is speaking to you and he's in your ear and he's in your heart, and you're confused and you're disillusioned. And God, he's so hacked off at the idea that the adversary would imply he's not a God of the valley. But see, that's the easiest place to lose focus on God. It's the easiest place for you to become convinced, like the man Job, when he said, I looked on my left and I didn't see him. I'm talking about a valley. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about disillusionment. I'm talking about pain. I'm talking about insecurity. I'm talking about trying to figure out which way is up and which way is down. And you feel like life is upside down. I'm talking about a man who said, I looked on my right where he doth work. This is his power. This is his strength. This is where God always acts. But for some reason, when I looked on my right, he wasn't moving. He wasn't acting. He wasn't speaking. And I looked in front. And I looked behind, but I didn't see him. I didn't perceive him. I know what the voice of God sounds like. I know what the voice of God sounds like. I know what the presence of God feels like, but I don't feel him right now. I can't perceive him right now. The valley I'm going through, I don't care if it's your own failure and you're standing in the middle of a valley and your own heart is condemning you. I've come to talk to somebody who's in a valley, and I've come to tell you the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. I'm talking about a man by the name of Daniel. I'm talking about three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm talking about the plain of Dura. I'm talking about walking down to a place after your mom's dead and your dad's dead, and you tried your best to live for God, but you're in a strange land, and you're trying to figure it all out, and you've made some commitments, and you've been consecrated, but all of a sudden, the whole nation is gathered in the plain, and you're standing there, and they've lifted up an idol to the heavens, and boy, this is where the rubber meets the road, and you can see the image, and you can see the people, and they all bow down, and you know what it means for you. You know that it probably means you're going to die, and your heart's filled with confusion, and your heart's filled with disillusionment, and you've got questions about God. And the wind begins to blow through that plain, and it's cold, and your heart is cold, and your mind is ravaged. And then the tattletales run to the king. They didn't bow. So you're standing there as you see the countenance of the king's face change, and what was pleasant, what was agreeable, you've drawn a line in the sand and you've made some decisions, and it's not so agreeable anymore. And all of a sudden, they come for you, and they take you down, and there's a furnace that's been heated, and you're in the middle of a valley, a plain, a low place. This is the end. I'm talking to some people who have questioned in the last 6 months, should I just end it all? Is this the end of it? But I've come to tell you that the God of the mountain is also the God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And even though you can't feel him, he was there all the time. And even though you couldn't see him, he was waiting patiently beside you. And even though you're approaching that pit, you're approaching that fire, you're approaching that furnace, and you feel the heat, and you think it's going to consume you, all of a sudden the king looks in. Hold on. Didn't we put three in? Sister Bonnie, but it looks like I see four. Even though you can't see him, he's got you covered, because you're his child, and because he loves you, and he died for you, and he paved a way for you on Calvary, and his mercy extends to all generations. Do you understand what that means? That means bigger than government and politics and kings and thrones is the hand of mercy that is stretching across over time, and it's reaching to where you are, and God sees you in your little valley, and he sent me to tell you everything is gonna be all right, because he's God of the valley. We can't always see it, but 25,000 men, 24,000 men thought they had escaped this God of the mountain. Went and hid behind a wall. God just slapped it over. The lying spirits that are talking to you that are prophesying over your marriage and prophesying over your finances and prophesying over your ministry. They are so antithetical to God and His holiness and His righteousness. When God gets finished with them, He's just going to push the wall over on them. I'm telling somebody tonight, when God gets finished with your valley situation, you're going to shine like the man Job. You're going to come out on the other side of it, and you're going to have more kids and more blessings and more, because that's the God that we serve. Listen, I'm not preaching prosperity tonight, and I'm not preaching a get-rich-quick scheme, but I've come to tell somebody, God wants you to know that He's with you in the valley. There's nothing you've gone through that He hasn't walked with you, that He hasn't held your hand, that He hasn't had His arm wrapped around you, and He came that you might have life. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Come on, let's love Him for just a moment tonight. Somebody talk to Him. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. How I trust You, God. How I've proven You over and over and over, Jesus. So rokosa sheratasia ko hendesi shala rokosia ba hiato. Come on, God, I need somebody to pray right now. I need somebody to touch God right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I need somebody who knows how to touch heaven right now. Oh, shalabroko sata. Yeah, la rabondo sotomana. Ramba da helio, romba da se. Rombi de sona, rada si romba da. Come on, I prophesy over your life right now. I tell somebody right now, if you'll just look to the hills from whence cometh your help comes from the Lord. God will turn it around for you right now. He'll make a way for you right now. He'll redeem your life right now. Will somebody worship Him for His voice tonight, for the word of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The book of Judges is a book of incomplete victories. And I see the man Gideon as he plows during the day and he hides at night. The frustration of living in incomplete victories with adversaries that are... It's one thing to have an adversary that is strong. It's one thing to have an adversary that is a challenge for you. It's another thing to have an adversary that buffets you every single day of your life. That every step that you take forward, you have to take two steps back and retreat. And so it's this process of fighting and hiding and fighting and hiding and fighting and hiding and working and then having to hide your stuff. And you don't even get away with a whole harvest or crop, because it seems like every time you make a dollar, you've got to spend two. And the adversary keeps coming and he's buffeting Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and he says, Gideon, the mighty man of valor. And Gideon, in his mind, I'm sure, like the rest of us, he was asking the question, who are you talking to? Is there somebody standing behind me? Because I don't feel like a mighty man of valor. I feel like somebody who's confused. I feel like somebody who's disillusioned. I feel like somebody who's tired of taking a step forward and two steps back. And finally, Gideon fleeces God and he proves God. And God said, listen, Gideon, if you want to prove it, go into the camp of the Midianites and listen. And a man's telling a dream. And it's a random dream. And it's very disjointed and disconnected. And the man who has the dream, the guy standing in front of him, says, man, that sounds like the arm of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon hears the interpretation of the dream, and finally he believes God. And I'm talking to somebody tonight who it has been so difficult for you at times to believe the report of the Lord, because the valley has been so low and the valley has been so deep and the valley has been... You have been so despondent in the valley that it's been a challenge for you to really believe the report of the Lord. But Gideon goes down and he has an army amassed with him. And God tells him, Gideon, I need you to have a vetting process, because what you have to understand is I'm not just the God of the mountain. I'm not just the God who can conquer on the top of a hill somewhere. I'm not just a God who can conquer when they have all the right tools and there's the right number of men, but I'm a God who cares about the details, and I'm a God who wants to make sure that Israel doesn't get confused, because there's a cyclical process that's working here of being disillusioned and losing faith and then crying out to God and God hearing and delivering. I want my people to know that I am their God and there's no other. I want my people to put their gods, their false gods, on the side and serve me. So Gideon, I need you to vet your people. I need you to reduce the number. Gideon, you've got too many men. You've got too many soldiers. There are too many people fighting. So he has them bend down and drink, and God reduces the number. And finally, he has a handful of men, and Gideon is standing in the plain in the valley, and he has a lamp in one hand and a pitcher in the other. And I've been here before, looking down into the camp of my adversary, believing God for what I heard on the mountain. But now I'm in the valley, and I look really silly standing here with a picture and a lamp. And these are not the tools of the trade. This is not conventional warfare, but we do not serve a conventional God. He's not a God like the gods of the world. Gods made with men's hands. Gods who have eyes, but they can't see, and ears, but they can't hear, and hands, but they can't reach out. He's not a God that needs the high ground. He's not a God that needs the elevated position. He fights in an unconventional way. He came to the earth. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to him, and he came in love and mercy. He came preaching unconventional messages like love your enemy and do good to those who despitefully use you. He didn't fight like men fight, and he didn't fight like the gods of the world fight. And so he was telling Gideon, stand here and see the work of the Lord. And Gideon's standing there, and once again the wind begins to blow, because it always does. The cold chill of the possibilities of defeat. So Gideon's standing there, believing God. And I'm preaching to the church. I'm preaching to some people. You've kept believing. You've continued to fight. But this sure looks like a challenging situation. The God of the valley. The God who always shows up. I've never, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I don't care how low it gets. I don't care how rough the road. God's always standing there. He is the very cool wind that blows in that situation. And even though, because of our own humanity, we can't see him, he's there. He's standing there. God has a desired end for your life. He that started a good work in you is able to finish that work. I said, he that started in you. God is not going to leave you in your valley. He's not going to leave you in your despair. He's not going to leave you with you standing there holding the bag, still believing, and God disappears. God's not like the gods of the world around us. He's faithful and just. Let's all stand. God of the valley. God of the valley. If you would, just bow your head for just a moment. Jesus. God, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, oh God. I know in my own life, there have been times when I couldn't see you. But you were always there, God. You were there all the time. You never took a day off, God. You're a God that doesn't sleep or slumber. You're not weak, God. You have all power. And God, you know tonight where this congregation is, Lord. You know every heart, God. You know the secret places, God. You know all of our little hidey holes and compartments, God, where we put things that we don't want anybody to know about. And I pray tonight, oh God, that you would walk down the corridors of somebody's heart, God. I pray that somebody right now would open up your heart to him. Let him just explore your heart. Come on, just tell him, God, I need you. I need your spirit, God. I need your mercy, oh God. Come on, I'm not talking about just the God of the mountain. I'm talking about the God of the valley, the God who's standing with you right now in the middle of the storm, and he wants to help you in the name of Jesus. If you need him tonight to move for you, I want you to come down to the front unabashedly. Come on, just come find a place to kneel and pray. And talk to him. Let him wrap his loving arms around you. Let him comfort you. Let him heal you. It's not his desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That everybody would find a place of repentance. Come on, come and hide in him tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, if you're not up here praying, why don't you find somebody to pray with? Come on, everybody, reach out and touch somebody else. Come on, find somebody to minister to right now. In the name of Jesus, you know God. You know, oh God, you know the way that I go, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
As they lead me down through paths I don't know. as they leave.